Well, it is a pleasure to have you here this morning, and I'm going to just basically just jump into this morning's sermon, by asking a question. And the question that I want to ask you this morning is a question that is asked by millions and millions and millions of people all around the world, of all nations, of all races, just people everywhere. And this is the question that people ask. It may come at different times in your life. It may come when you're young. Some people it's mid-age or maybe later on when you start to see what's happening with me. But the question is this morning, what is the purpose of life? That's a good question to ask. What is the purpose of life? Why do I exist? I mean, I was thinking about this week, and look at your life. You were born, you had a birth date. That's pretty obvious. You were brought up to about, 5 or 6 years old. Your parents put you in school. For the next next 18 years, that'd be something. The next 12 years, you went to elementary, middle school, high school. You graduated from high school, and at that point, you were faced with the decision, what am I going to do with my life? How am I going to earn a living? So some people went off to college. Other people went off to training school. Some people went right into work. The whole goal is I got to start making some money. I got to start... I need to start making a living, okay? And you started making a living, and then some people said, now I need to get married. That's the normal thing to do at this age of my life, get married. And then you crossed over that barrier, and you went to the next barrier. The next barrier was, I need to have family. Then you have this house, and then you have all these things. Then your kids start getting into the same routine that you got into, and it just seems like it goes on and on and on. But if you're like me, there's times that in the midst of that schedule, you kind of just stop. Is anybody ever like me? You just stop and you think, what is this really all about? I mean, what is this rat race that I'm getting involved in? Some people call it the American dream. I mean, think about it. Is the American dream really the purpose of life? Think about that. I just want you to respond to yourself. Is the American dream really the purpose of life? Because the thought is, if the American dream really was the purpose of life, my question is, why are there so many people that are still empty and still searching? For many of us, like myself included, we have more than we thought we would ever have. I look at my life compared to where I thought I would be, and I just look at the blessings of the Lord, and I say, God, you have been so amazingly good to me. God, my heart overflows. I'm like David in the Psalms, count your blessings and see all that God has done. I mean, he's amazing. He's good to us. But there's got to be more than just going after this American dream. What really is the purpose of life? Well, I have some good news for you this morning. God answers a lot of those questions, all those questions for us in the Bible. That's why we need to be spending time in His Word. His Word gives us direction. Like Stephen said a couple weeks ago, it's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. And in Scripture, God tells us the purpose of living. And what I want to do is I want to show you a Scripture. It's on the screen. You can try to find it in your Bible. It's in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 6 and 7. I want to read those verses because it's in those verses that God, the one who made you, God, the one who created you, tells you the purpose for your life. And if you're like me, I'm like, tell me, God, I want to know. I want to get after what I'm created to be, okay? So let's read this verse. We've read it a couple years ago, but we're going to kind of go a different direction with it this morning. I want to read this. Isaiah 43, verse 6 and 7. Follow along as I read. The writer says, I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name. I want you to get that right quick. Everyone who is called by my name, is that you? If you have placed your faith in Christ as Savior and the Lord, that's you, everyone who is called by my name. Look at this next line. Whom I created for my... Everybody say that word together. Okay, I'm going to read that again, and when you get there, I want you to show some excitement about it. Whom I have created for my glory. Whom I formed and made. So there it is in that verse. The answer to the most important question in life. And that is that God created us. God created me. God created you for this purpose. He created us for His glory. Okay? Meaning that God, I want you to hear this morning. Please listen. Hear this. We were made by God for God. I want everybody to repeat that. Made by God, for God. Say that one more time. Made by God, for God. So we were created by God for Him. We're created for His glory. I mean, think about that. That's not really a word that we use a lot, glory. We're created for God's glory. What does that really mean? I mean, we say the word, but do we really understand what that means, the significance of you were created for God's glory? I mean, that is really deep. If you let that sink in, you were created for God's glory. What does that mean? That means, and I did a lot of reading. I spent all day Tuesday, 8 hours just reading, searching for the answer to this question, what is God's glory? And there's a lot of thoughts out there, and I try to simplify. See, one of my goals in preaching is to keep the cookies on the bottom shelf so everybody can get to the cookies, okay? So not that you guys aren't intellectual giants, but I'm just speaking for myself, okay? So for myself, what does it mean to glorify God? Well, simply, glory means that we were created to live a life that gives God great praise. We're created to live a life that gives God great praise, a life that gives Him honor, a life that gives Him fame, a life that when people see it, they wonder, a life of splendor. So basically, even one of my greatest sources this week was Pastor down in Bethlehem, Baptist John Piper. And he says, we were created for God's glory, meaning that we were created to make Him great. To make Him great. You say, now wait a minute, Pastor John or Pastor Mike, isn't God great already? And I want to let you know, undoubtedly, yes, God is great already, but this is what needs to happen. People who are far away from God, people who are turned off from God, need to see how great He is. And oftentimes, the way in which people see the greatness of God is how? Through us, through other people. So our lives are to bring glory to God so that when people see our lives, they see our behavior, what they do is they ultimately look and they say, this is what it should be. Wow, God. Or people should look at your life and say, isn't God amazing? That's how we bring glory to God. We give Him great praise. We make Him, His name great, okay? So the purpose of your life is to do what? Everybody answer the question. The purpose of life is what? Come on, I just talked about it for 5 minutes. The purpose of life is what? To give glory to God. Think about that this week. Think about that when you're raising your kids. Think about that when you're in your workplace. Think about that while you're on summer break. Whatever you set your hands to do this week, my encouragement and my challenge to you is to say, Lord, am I doing this for Your glory? Am I doing this so other people can see how amazing You really are? God, am I doing this out of great praise for You and not for me? It's really all about, who's it all about? Him. I'm created by You, for You. I want my life to give glory to You. So the purpose of our life is to bring glory to God. Now, if you're anything like me, you're thinking, okay, that's cool. That's what the Bible says. I'm created to give my life. I'm created to give God glory. But there's a follow-up question that goes with that, and that is, if I'm created to give God glory, then how can I glorify God? How does that work? What does that look like, okay? And once again, I have some good news for you, and that is that Jesus is going to answer this question for us. So if you have your Bibles, we're actually going to spend the next couple weeks in this chapter, John chapter 15. So everybody, if you have your Bible, open it up to John chapter 15. This is where we're going to spend probably the month of, what are we in? June. We're just going to look at this chapter because it's so rich in content, it's so rich in revelation, that if we will grasp and begin to live out what's in this chapter, some amazing things can happen in our lives. How many people want to live a life that is transformed? About five of you. All right, let's go for it. That's five. Woo, all right, okay. So here we go. John chapter 15. The first 17 verses are going to be our focus in this series. We're not going to look at all 17 verses today. There's just no way we could do it justice, okay? But before we read these verses, I need to give you a little background. The background is these verses were taken from a conversation that Jesus is having with His disciples, the 12 disciples. He's having this talk with them just hours before he would go to the cross, where he would go to the cross to die for your sins. The two previous chapters, Jesus is in the upper room. He's breaking bread. He's doing the activities of the upper room. Now they have left the upper room, and now they're on their way to the Garden of Gethsemane. But they stop in this chapter, and Jesus has this conversation with them when they're just entering the Garden of Gethsemane. And I need to let you know, back in that culture, back in that society, there were grapevines everywhere. I want you to get that. There were grapevines all around, and Jesus stops, and he's going to give them some last words before he goes to the cross. By the way, how many people know last words are usually words of great weight, significance? Hey, before I go to the cross, before I die, there's just one more thing. One more thing I got. Hey, lean over. There's one more thing I got to tell you, okay? So if you're there, we're going to read John chapter 15. Are you there? Everybody say, you betcha. John chapter 15, 1 through 2. By the way, these words aren't only for the 12 that were there that night. These words are for you. If you are a follower of Christ, you said, yes, I want to follow you, Jesus. I accept that invitation. These words are for you in the year 2015, just as they were that night when Jesus was speaking to the disciples. Everybody got it? Got it, okay? John 15, verse 1 and 2. Jesus speaking to the disciples, ready to die on the cross. Just hours before, he says, I am the true vine. We'll talk about that. My Father is the gardener. Ooh, this is severe here. He cuts off every branch in me He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Stop. I want you to notice there's going to be a key word in these first two verses that appears four different times. It's the word fruit. So I want everybody to say that in your mind, fruit. Fruit. We're going to talk about fruit today, and I'm not talking about bananas and apples, okay? Fruit. He says, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more, what? Fruitful. He's talking about fruit. A couple observations in that verse. Number one, who is the vine? Everybody say, Jesus. Jesus. Step out there. You're right. Jesus is the vine. If you didn't grow up around grapevines, and I'm sure a lot of you didn't, I didn't, you might think that the vine is that long limb that sprawls along the trellis, but really, actually, the vine is the trunk of the plant that grows out of the ground. The vine is the trunk of the plant that grows out of the ground, and usually an experienced gardener will let that grow about waist high, somewhere between 36 and 42 inches, and then the vine itself will produce the branches, which will go all different directions along the trellis. But Jesus says, hey, I want you guys to hear that I'm the vine. I'm the source. I'm the trunk that comes out of the ground. Okay? Then the second observation, he says, hey, the Father, meaning God, the Father is the what? The gardener. Okay? The gardener is the keeper of the vineyard. He's either the owner or the one who has hired somebody to tend the garden. And basically, the gardener's task is really quite simple, and that is to produce as much fruit as possible. So the gardener has one job. I'm going to take care of that vine because the goal is this. I want to see fruit being produced. I want to stop and say this. Jesus is very serious, and there's other passages that we could have camped out on, but Jesus is very serious about Christians producing fruit. I want to let you know that we're not saved by works. We're saved by what? Grace. Through faith. I know that. I understand that. So don't come to me after the service and say, are you talking? We're saved by works. I would say absolutely not. But I would say this. You're saved by grace through faith. But after that, there should be fruit. There should be evidence that you have had a change of heart. Is everybody with me? At least shake your head. Yeah, I'm with you, okay? So let's continue. So that's the gardener's job. The gardener has one mission. I want that person to produce fruit. I want those branches to produce fruit. Let's go down to verse 5. By the way, we'll hit all these verses throughout this series. Jesus says this, "Yes, I am the vine, and you are the what?" Who's the branches? Believers. People who have accepted the invitation to follow Christ are branches. So we're a bunch of branches here this morning, okay? And realize that this is a parable, it's an allegory, okay? Jesus is making a point here, okay? He says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me, and I in them, will produce what? Much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." So observation one, who's the vine? Jesus. Who's the gardener? God. Observation three, you and I are the branches. You're sitting next to a lot of branches here this morning. And in the vineyard, the branches are the focus of the gardener's effort because that's where the fruit is produced. The fruit is produced in the branches. So what happens is the branches are tied to a trellis. They're propped up off the ground so that they can produce. The air will circulate to provide maximum amount of sunshine. The gardener can get to to the branches. And basically, I want to let you know, the gardener lovingly cultivates every branch for the purpose that every branch would produce fruit. I want you to hear my heart this morning. I've said it already, but I can't say it enough. God wants my life, God wants your life, to produce fruit. We have a responsibility. There's an expectation that's been placed upon believers, and Jesus is pulling them aside right before the cross, and he's saying, "Hey, this is what I expect from you guys. The 12 are in a huddle. This is what I expect from you guys from this point on, is that you go out and you produce fruit." And that's what Jesus is saying, not only to pastors of churches. He's saying it to everyone who said yes to Jesus. "Hey, you, wherever you go, wherever you live, this is the mission. I want you to produce fruit because this is what happens." Look at verse 18, or verse 8. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm so excited. Can you tell I'm excited? Just a little. I'm passionate about this, okay? Because this has been very convicting to me this week, okay? Verse 8. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. But check this out. When you produce much fruit, this brings, everybody read it together. This brings great what? Glory to God. So let me ask this question. How do we bring glory to God? We bring glory to God when we live our lives in a way that it produces fruit. When we live our life in a way that produces fruit, people, it gives glory to our God in heaven. That's why it's such a big deal. So what do you think the next question should be? We got to figure out what fruit is. We got to figure this out. That's what we're going to do for the next 5 minutes, is figure out what is fruit. I want to say this, and you need to hear me. Please hear me right now. Everybody listen up. In the Bible, there's two words. There's the word fruit, and there's the word good works. Fruit and good works in the Bible are used interchangeably. I want to let you know that. The word fruit and good works in throughout the Scripture is used interchangeably, okay? So you need to get that in your head. So with this being said, the practical terms of fruit represents good works. What are good works? Think about it. I want everybody to think, what are good works? Good works can stem from anywhere from positive thoughts, attitudes. Yes, your attitude could be fruit. Good or bad, it could be fruit. But it's also the actions. Your actions that please God. So fruit is those positive thoughts, actions, and attitudes that please God, okay? One guy, his name is Dr. Bruce Wilkinson, he says this, there's two types of fruit. He says there's the inner fruit. You know what the inner fruit is those Christ-like qualities that begin to develop in your life. A great passage that shows us exactly what those inner attitudes, Christ-like attitudes are, is found in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Look at it on the screen. This is fruit. Everybody read this together. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. By the way, another word that translates long-suffering would be patience. So what is fruit? There's an inner fruit. And that is when I love somebody, that's fruit. When there's joy in my life, that's fruit. When there's peace. Go through the list. That is inner fruit. That should be what's inside of the believer. That's the fruit that should be coming from out of our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. That's fruit. That's the kind of life Jesus wants you to have. We're going to talk about how we get there, so hold on. Then there's this outward fruit, and that is that when you do a work, a visible outward work, for the purpose of bringing God glory. That would include things like certainly sharing your faith with somebody else. It would include, hey, maybe you're chopping wood for a widow, or cutting grass for a neighbor who's ill, or volunteering at church or at school. That would be outward fruit. And outward fruit, listen carefully, don't let me lose you here. Outward fruit is when you do it for the glory of God. I want to let you know, I could sit up here and preach with two motives. The motive of elevating myself. Oh, that was a great sermon, Mike. Yeah, that was awesome. Or I could do it with the motive that I want to bring God all the glory. You can volunteer at church. You could be the most active volunteer in church. And you could do it for two reasons. You could say, I'm going to do it because I want people to say, isn't that a great person? Wow. Wow, look at how wonderful they are. Or you could do it with this motive. God, I'm doing this for you. By the way, here's the danger of doing it for other people. Sometimes other people don't give thanks. And they don't appreciate it. They don't appreciate all I do around church. Guess what? That's going to be the case sometime. And you're going to be disappointed. But I tell you what, when you do it for the glory of God, nobody's ever said thank you for some of the things I've done. But you know what? God, I wasn't doing it for them. God, my whole motive in doing it was for you. And Lord, I know you appreciate that because I was doing it for you, for your glory. Wouldn't that be great if that was the attitude of our hearts at this church, is that we would do things for God's glory? That we would volunteer at Awana not because of, it would sure make me look good around here. But wouldn't it be great if we did it because, God, I'm doing this for an audience of one. God, I'm doing this for you. And regardless if anybody ever says thank you or that a boy, that a girl, God, I'm doing it to please you. God, I show up here for praise team practice early on a Sunday morning. And I'm not even sure if Pastor Mike appreciates me. I do. But you may be thinking that. But God, I'm showing up for you. God, I'm doing all this for you. I'm doing it for your glory. That's why you created me. That's why you made me. I'm doing it for you. Can you see how that could change your life? Can you see how that can change your perspective? God, I'm not living my life even for me. God, more of me is actually more, I don't need more of me, I need more of you. God, I'm doing it. And actually, even fruit is in our giving. We can give with, that can be an act of fruitfulness. Is everybody with me? Say, I'm with you. Amen? So how important is it that we produce fruit? Look what Jesus says, verse 16. Listen, this is so good. You thought you were something. Look, is everybody ready for this? I don't know if you're ready for this. We should just quit right now. You're not ready. Are you ready? Say, give it to me. Come on. Let's have some Pentecostal church here. You want it or not? Okay. How important is that we produce fruit? Because I know you guys, you can't sleep tonight until you find this out. Sure, yeah. Listen, Jesus said, you didn't choose me. What? Yeah, Jesus said, you didn't choose me. I chose you. Woo! We got to wake up in this house. This is good. This is better than the response we're getting this morning. Jesus said, you didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you. He had an appointment with you. He appointed you to do what? Everybody read the rest. Produce lasting fruit. Yeah, we get saved by grace through faith. We can't do it on our own. There's no good works that we can do to accomplish our salvation. Is that clear? But after God does an amazing work in our heart that changes our life, it should change our behavior. It should change how we go out and we live our life. And Jesus said, you know what? You didn't choose me. I chose you. He's saying that to those disciples. He's saying it to us. I appointed you for this purpose. You're going to go out, and I want you to spend your life not chasing the American dream, not going after your kid being the all-star, the best. This is what I want you to be consumed with. Let's huddle up here. I need to tell you, this is what it's all about. I really want your life to produce fruit. That brings me great glory. That gets me excited when your life is producing fruit that is lasting. And really, that's our only permanent deposit in heaven, is our fruitfulness. Because he says it's going to be lasting. It's going to be lasting. It's going to be lasting. Look at this verse. We got one more verse here. It's Ephesians 2:10. It says, you were created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works. Follows right behind that verse. By grace we've been saved through faith, but not by works. And then he goes on to say, you were created in Jesus Christ for good works. Some people say, well, I'm saved. I can go out and live how I want. I listened to a preacher on TV last night for 45 minutes talking about we're living in a sick age where people have misused grace. Meaning now I can go out and live my life anyway. I'm forgiven whatever I do. I'm covered by grace. I say, I don't agree with that. It doesn't line up with the rest of the teachings of Scripture. Now that Jesus says, Paul says, you're created for good works. Jesus says, you go out and bear fruit, okay? And you would think that something that is so crucial would just come automatically, but there's nothing further from the truth. It doesn't just happen, okay? For the vineyard to really produce, the branches have to respond to the attention of the gardener. We got to respond to God's work in our life. And in this passage, we see actually there's four different responses to the work of the gardener. And this is how we're going to close it this morning. Jesus talks about four different branches in this passage. Look, they're on the screen. Branch number one, he says, there's a branch where there's no fruit. Look at what it says in verse 2. He says, he cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. So there's branches that don't produce fruit. Branch two, he says, fruit. Let's return to verse 2. He says, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit. Then you go to branch 3, more fruit. So if we had four baskets along the front and I had fruit to fill them with, you'd see the first basket, no fruit, empty. The next basket would have fruit. The third basket would have more fruit. Look at the last part of verse 2. It says, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit. Why? So they will produce even more fruit. God is, he's serious about this. He's very serious. He saved it to his lasting words. Go out there and produce fruit. And then branch 4, he says, much fruit. I'm sorry, verse 5. He says, yes, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. And what we're going to do next week is we're going to look at this first group of people who aren't bearing no fruit. And we're going to look at what causes that in our life. What has brought us to the point in our walk with God that we're not producing fruit? And we're going to look at that through the eyes of this chapter, okay? So let's conclude today with three questions. I would love for you to respond with the right answer. If you don't know, just don't say anything. What is the purpose of life? Why do you exist? To glorify God. That's you. That's not just me, that's you. The purpose of your life, and you won't be satisfied with anything else. You might be happy for a season, but the purpose of your life, the reason why God designed you uniquely and created you and formed you while you were in your mother's womb, the reason why God made you, He made you to glorify your Maker, God. Question number two, how do you glorify God? By bearing fruit. The way you're going to glorify God is not that you're going to get up and preach a message someday and you're, okay, now you're in. You preach the sermon in church or you did this or that. No, the way you glorify God is by you're going to bear fruit. I want to let everyone know, I don't care what age you are, God wants you to bear fruit. He wants you to do it for Him. So here's the personal question that you don't answer out loud. If you were to look at these four different baskets up front in your mind this morning, my question to you is, how much fruit do you see in your life today? Would it be no fruit? Would there be fruit? More fruit? Or would there be much fruit? They did a survey of thousands of Christians and they found out that most Christians would say they were definitely in that first two baskets where there's no fruit or fruit. I just want to let you know that's what brings joy to life is when you go out and you live your life for God and you produce fruit. Amen? So what we're going to do in the next few weeks is we're just going to look deep within. We're going to be gut honest. We're going to just lay it out on the table. We're going to talk about this issue. We're going to talk about what is it in our life that keeps us from producing fruit. You might be really, really surprised next week what you find out. But I want to let you know this is the will of the Father for your life, is that you would produce fruit. It's God's will for me. It's God's will for you. It's God's will for the youngest kid down in church that we begin to produce fruit. That we glorify God in our fruitfulness. Amen? Do you receive it this morning? Say, yes, I do. If you don't, say, no, I don't. Fingers crossed there. But I just really encourage you to do your homework this week. Your homework would be, I tell you what, there's churches where I think pastors are afraid to say this, get in your own Bible. But I say, get in your Bible this week. Dissect John 15, verses 1 through 17. Let the Word of God get in you and let God reveal what His plan is for your life. So this week, read John chapter 15, verses 1 through 17. And God wants you to bring glory to Him by living a life that produces fruit. Where we say, God, it's all about You. It's all about You. It's all about You. And I love the people that have this figured out in life. Lord, it's not about me, it's about You. I get a kick out of athletes. Professional athletes. One guy will make a three-pointer. Swish. And he'll think he's the greatest thing in the world. Like, look at me. Aren't I something special? Wow, you made a three-pointer. You have arrived. But then I love when a guy like Stephen Curry. You ever notice the first thing he does? What's he saying there? He's a Christian. God, I'm doing this for your glory. I'm doing this for your glory. I'm not, yeah, we're going to win championships. Just give me a couple more days. But God, I'm doing it for you. So what is it you're involved in day by day? Are you doing it for you or are you doing it for God's glory? It totally changes why you wake up in the morning. Some people, you're sick of the routine. It stinks. It's boring. How many more years till I retire? That's not how we're to live. What about us getting up and saying today? Whoa, today is going to be an awesome day. Yeah, I'm going to the same job. I'm going to be around the same people. But today, I'm doing it for a different reason. I'm not doing it for the paycheck. It sure comes in handy. I'm not doing it for the people at work. Yes, I'm doing. I have responsibilities. Don't get me wrong. But primarily, Lord, today I'm waking up and I'm asking today, will I do it for you? I go today, I cut grass, I cut it for you. I go and I deal with students today. Yes, I want to bless those students, but ultimately, Lord, I'm doing it for you. And what would that look like? How would that change your day if you woke up and said, God, I'm living for an audience of one. You're the reason I get up today. You're the reason why I go build another patio, another deck. It's all about you. And I tell you what, that will change everything about you. It will change everything you do when you do it for the right reason. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads and let's head home and let's live a life that does what? Glorifies God. And we do that by what? Producing fruit. So, Father, we come before you today. And, God, I pray that you would get a hold of our hearts. I just pray right now the Holy Spirit will just he'll just reach inside of you and get a hold of your heart. And, Lord, that we will do what we do for your glory, for your name, for your fame, to make your name great. And Lord, that our lives will produce fruit. And Lord, I don't want to jump ahead, but the way we bear fruit is when we remain close to you, when we abide. So Lord, help us to stay close, closely connected with you. You are the source. Lord, help us not to get so many distractions that we never have time to spend time with you. And Lord, we thank you and praise you. Be with your people as they go home today. So, Lord, help us and be with us. In Jesus' name. And everyone together said, Amen. Amen.